7:28, and we'll reopen the council meeting at 7:29. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the purchase and sale agreement between the City of Blaine and Chuckanut Bay Foods. Mr. City Manager.
There's on. Mr. Mayor and Council, before you is an agenda item that requests that the council authorize your city attorney and myself to finalize the purchase and sale agreement of approximately 2.8 acres of property at the old airport, the Gateway site, which is on the southeast corner. Back up. It's on the northeast corner of the southern portion of the property. And the basics of the deal now are that the city council, based on some performance that we were going to identify in our negotiations, the sale price could possibly be $4.60 a foot. That's discounted from a value of $4 a foot based upon certain conditions that the city council is.
Mr. City Manager, you said $4.60.
Oh, I'm sorry, three.
$3.60.
For the record.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Thank you for that. You got me nervous, and I got to look at the numbers.
You got us nervous as well.
$3.40.
Right, $3.40.
$3.40. It's approximately 121,968.49 square feet. So now I got my notes out. I can read it and remember it. So what we're asking for council authority tonight is to allow the city manager and the city attorney to finalize the purchase and sale agreement for those amounts as identified in your staff report. There's a 120-day contingency period, which the buyer has the option to look at the property, look at the history of the property, make some decisions about whether that property and its siting meets their needs. After that 120-day period passes, the contingency then is over. They put a $10,000 down payment on the property, which then will be on hard money, comes to the city's, with the expectation that they'll fulfill the contract shortly thereafter. This is a very standard contract. There's nothing special in it, other than the council has told me that there's an expectation for performance to build what they intend to. I just met with the realtor, Ron Freeman, and said that's something that's important to the council, and he agreed to that we would work on that. So what will happen is you authorize us to do this next step. It all comes back to the council. This is not the final decision. This just authorizes us to go into the agreement to start that process of the contingency and based upon the price of the land, as we've talked about it.
Okay.
So, any questions?
Okay, the recommendation is to approve and authorize the city manager to sign the purchase and sales agreement.
I will so move.
Second.
This has been moved and seconded. Are there any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I will call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any say opposed, say nay. Hearing no nays, the motion is carried 7-0.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, one thing, as I would mention, that because there's factors that you were outlined in your request for action, yes, that would be a reduction of the purchase price below what fair market value is to a set amount, we'll probably come back with a policy to guide that for this and other potential transactions. So that'll be adopted either the same night or before this agreement is finalized and brought back for your review.
Thank you, Mr. Sitkin. Any questions for Mr. Sitkin?
That's mine.
Hearing none. Okay. We're now going to go on to department reports. First department report is Public Works, and Raven is going to give us a project update.
Thank you, Council. I'm not been here for a while, so it's actually really great to see you all. And I think also my report is a little lengthier than usual, but I will go as quickly as I can. There's a lot of good stuff happening. So first, at our last Public Works Advisory Committee meeting, we had a really great presentation by the Port of Bellingham. It was something that one of our advisory committee members wanted. And one of the things that they brought up was that they have a marine advisory committee, and there is currently no representative from the city of Blaine. So, yes, sir.
What time?
You were for a time.
What time is it?
Oh, I don't have that information.
Are you interested?
Wasn't it 6 o'clock on Tuesdays?
Was it?
My recollection. You were talking about the Marine Committee.
So I'll follow up and verify that.
Let me know what time.
Okay, so you are interested in that?
Well, I was there once before, so I know how it works.
Okay, great.
Are we going to add that to our department reports?
Would you like to?
Or council reports?
Sure.
Mr. Hawkins can...
Harry, I'm not seeing. I want to know what time.
Oh, okay. Well, we can add it to our council reports and then assign someone to provide that report.
Okay, then. We'll let you guys work that out. The Transportation Benefit District vote is tomorrow. So, I finished my last public speaking on that at Semiahmoo last Monday night. When you were all in executive session, Mr. Crawford actually looked it up on the website of Whatcom County, and 34% of Blaine registered voters have already placed their ballots. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed with that number. Last week, we had two of members of my department conduct or participate in a what's called a value engineering study for the Hughes Avenue project. Mr. Olson came, and as did Mr. Welbrick, to the final presentation, if you will, of our results. We actually had a very condensed study, so we didn't do a formal presentation, but we did come up with several value ideas for the project. Actually came up with over 60, but probably a dozen that are worth pursuing and others that the engineer could or should be looking into. And it was suggested that when we come to you for award of phase one, which is pretty much the Sweet Road portion of the project this year, to give you a short presentation on that, just as an informational, what value engineering does and kind of the process that we went through. And this is something that I'm certified in and have a lot of passion for. So I'm really excited that we're getting to use it to create more value in Blaine. Let's see. We had a volunteer crew on April 18th work on cleaning up litter around the truck route. I just want to commend Leo Baldwin for his initiative. He put a notice to the paper. The city supplied all of the tools for the crew, but he let it on, well, as much on his free time as you could say that the city would allow under the union contract, which is essentially we allowed him to flex his time to go do that work. But love to see more of that volunteerism in our town. I'm sorry that Stephanie's not here to further report on that. We are getting asked a lot about water availability. So if you're getting questions about that, please refer those questions to Public Works. A lot of this derives from the Hearst decision, which has put this big shutdown on county wells. Yes, Mr. Hawkins?
I hear Evie's bought 20 acres, and their potato growers are on just outside of the Sweet Road, on Haney section there. So, I mean, I'm concerned about agriculture being on that line that we're providing water for, especially for summer demand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if that's what they're doing, but when that name comes up, it's...
Well, I know that the first well that they're drilling anyway, I don't know if they're drilling more than one, was a part of Birch Bay Water and Sewer District's grant with Department of Ecology for doing exploration wells, so it wouldn't be a production well.
No, EB potato growers.
Right.
They put a well, or they dug a well out.
They gave an easement to Birch Bay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I do not think that is being proposed for production or at any time soon, though. All right. Vista Terrace Electrical, so you saw a little communication, unfortunately, through the email. Well, the contract, as you know, was awarded, and we are now under contract. So that process takes a little time, back and forth sometimes, get all the forms right. And we had our pre-construction meeting on Friday, and they're planning on starting next week. So I composed a letter this afternoon, and it'll go out tomorrow to all the residents in Vista Terrace, once again explaining
kind of why we're here at this point in time and who the contractor is. And we've also made a commitment to putting in street lighting at the intersections in within the development. So I am hopeful that that'll all be received really well, and we will finally have lane power in Vista Terrace.
Raven, I have kind of a related question. Is Vista Terrace Avenue and Allen Street on our six-year transportation plan?
No, not currently.
Okay. I think we should consider putting them on that.
For sidewalks?
For improved road and...
So all the roads were resurfaced last fall as a part of the chip seal contract.
Okay, so Vista Terrace Avenue and the one that mm-hmm. comes down to Allen?
As far as I'm aware. Lincoln Lane, no, but Vista Terrace Avenue, and Allen Street.
Okay, so they were improved.
So the street lights are another part of that. I don't know, I would think the community would be maybe not so happy about losing yards to sidewalks and such in light of the... Yeah. But I think what we would like, and maybe give it a little bit of a break, but to actually maybe do a little comprehensive planning for that neighborhood, get more neighborhood feedback on what it is that they would like further now that they have lane power, they have sewer, they have water, they have a lot of the city facilities that a lot of the other neighborhoods have, with the exception of sidewalks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was kind of, you know, when Bill and I kind of debriefed on the whole email exchange, and no, I'm not going to write Mr. Shea back again.
Yeah.
But I am sending out this letter to all of the property owners.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Does that sound like a...
Yeah, I think communication is a good thing whenever we can
Yeah, and
that.
We agree. Rail conference that a couple of you attended in Bellingham last year is the next one is set for May 6th in Seattle. This one is an all-day deal, and it involves lunch and for the cost of $60. Unfortunately, I already have plans. It's a Saturday. So I'm just putting that out there if any of you are interested. Blaine is not going to be the focus of the conference, but I do think that it is good to continue to keep Blaine on the radar of these folks. And this will be attended by WashDOT and Laura, who did the work with the students, and Blaine is now in Olympia. She got I don't know if it's a promotion, but she got a new job. So it was pretty neat. Mr. Wilbrecht informed you about Exit 274, so big kudos to all of you that helped with the advocacy of that. That's a big step. What they appear to have funded at the state level is what we're calling Phase 1, so it's not the full meal deal, but it's more than just the interchange justification report money. It's that southbound off-ramp, which we have said is our biggest priority. So that, with the improvements that we're doing to Hughes, really brings truck capability and, I can't wait to tell Mr. Connolly. Actually, I'm going to give him a call because there's actually some things that came out of the VE study that we did for Hughes where we think that we can work with Mr. Connolly to do some mutual benefit. He has materials. He has a lot of land where we could probably use his staging for the contractor. Things like that, and all those things save money.
So is that $10 million, does that go towards any construction at all, or is that all engineering?
No. We anticipate construction of Phase 1 in that amount.
And what does Phase 1 consist of?
That's the southbound off-ramp. So we have
southbound.
Southbound, okay. Yep. So we have two alternatives for southbound right now. One is coming right up the edge of Mr. Connolly's property and ending at Hughes. And the other one actually uses a little bit of the existing flyover. And they're all independent of Phase 2, which is the northbound off-ramp. Mm-hmm. Now, the benefit of the northbound off-ramp, I don't want to minimize it, but the benefit is it takes those trucks directly to O'Dell. Now that we are improving Hughes, we have a way for trucks to get to O'Dell. So we feel really good about the decision that the legislature made. I think it's a good middle of the road. The legislative request, and I'll have to see the way the final wording of their motion, but the legislative request that we submitted did say that if there was money left over, that it be applied to start the design for Phase 2. So my hope is, you know, hey, if this could be done in cooperation with Mr. Connolly and really get some value for the city in so doing, that we might be able to get a shovel-ready project for Phase 2, which is exceedingly difficult for the city with our funding levels to kind of take that leap of faith that we're going to get construction funding for a project by starting the design without it. So I'm very encouraged by that. And then I know I had one more item, but my computer turned off. And that is just an update. You awarded the groundskeeping contract tonight. Thank you. We did have interviews this morning for both the seasonal and the cemetery maintenance position. We are very happy with the candidate that we have selected for the cemetery. She's a Blaine resident, wants a part-time job, wants to give back to her community, has a horticulture background. So I think it's thumbs up. We just need to get through a little bit more process, and then hopefully I'll be able to offer her a job this week. So just wanted to give you that. Thank you.
Mr. Wenger, you're going to do the community development?
Yes,
sir. Just wanted to give you an update that the East Blaine Sewer Extension Project is well underway, as you've probably seen up there on D Street, that's going through the park. And we're also moving forward under the capital improvement plan for parks. We have a landscaping enhancement plan that we want to follow through on. We're going to be looking at doing a little selective clearing up by D Street to showcase the big majestic fir trees on the north side of the park. And so we'll be trying to follow up shortly after the sewer project is completed to move into that next step, and that's already been, that funding has been made available by the council through the park CIP. So I wanted just to give you an update on that we're working on that and moving forward there. The council asked community development to reach out to some of the neighborhoods, and we have done that now. So Maddie and I presented to the Semiahmoo Resort Association. I was able to present to the Salishan neighborhood. Michael presented to the Semiahmoo Women's Club, and I think all the presentations were well received. It was a fun new thing to do, and we would like to continue to do that. We're going to try to follow up maybe with another community outreach at the community center later this year. So that's done very well. We've had about 3-4 months into the year, and we've already had 3 presentations on that. I also wanted to mention that the Port of Bellingham is updating their Recreation, Conservation, and Open Space Plan. And there's an online survey that you can go on and fill out, and I would encourage all of you to take a look at that. I believe we have a link posted on our website, but it asks you specific questions about Blaine Harbor and what you'd like to see down there. And I would encourage all Blaine residents to vote on that so we can give our input to the Port of Bellingham on what we'd like to see down on their property, which is a significant piece, of course, of the wharf district down there. And last but not least, we were planning a grand opening for our newest downtown business, Border View Dental, right over here off of 8th Street. So we're hoping to do that before City Council on May 22nd. That'll be 5 p.m. And we'll be sure to send you all an email to get that on your schedule. So that's it.
Thank you, Alec. Chief Haslop, do you want to make an operations update for us?
I don't know if you noticed in the paper,
last week in the police report, we got slammed with burglaries at Pantech Mini Storage. That's a unit on Boblett Street, the west of the school bus garage, Northwest Podiatrics, and behind the high school. We're still attempting to contact the renters of units in there, but we have somewhere between a dozen and three dozen burglaries. It's not the first event of that kind we've had at that location. Frankly, it's been problematic over time. This one has firearms, jewelry, a plethora of merchandise taken, and it's going to consume a lot of time. And at the end of the year, when you look at your burglary stats, they're going to be about double what you'd normally have. So, we're also working with planning and code enforcement on what we might want to present to you folks as a way of helping to reduce those problems with that type of business in the future. But that'll be a long-term discussion down the road.
Chief, do you find that burglaries at places, especially places like that, that they can be inside jobs, so to speak? Someone that works there that's got keys to all the padlocks?
It's something that we will always look at. It often depends on the level of security, the awareness of the folks who are there. Some are the renters. Sometimes they overestimate the degree, the amount of security provided by the business itself. In this particular case, we found a couple of folks who were, at least to some extent, habitating on premise in those units, which is creates a variety of public health issues as well as security issues. Mm-hmm. So it's a fairly complex problem, but that's always something that we look at, Counselor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have multiple officers on vacation over these next couple of months and at training, and so we're going to have some number of shifts where there's only one officer on duty. We will certainly prioritize calls and get to everything as soon as we can, but to let you know, the guys are, the officers are busy and doing their best to keep up. So far this week, over the last week, we've had a couple of child abuse cases which have come in, which always are of concern and time-consuming. John Landis is our senior sexual assault investigator. He does an excellent job at it. He has the training and the wherewithal, but so he's been called back from vacation twice for the last week to work in a couple of those cases. We do have one replacement officer that we have taken on board. He's an entry-level officer and a nice gentleman by the name of Jason Hentz. You'll meet him in the weeks and months to come. We're hoping to get him into either the June or July Academy date, and we'll let you know as soon as we have that. In the meantime, he's working on his orientation and initial field training. So when we have our AHAB siren, our all hazard alert broadcast pole and speaker system. If you haven't had a chance to glance down towards the harbor, it's harder to see than I thought it was going to be, especially from the 8th Street parklet. There are actually masts on sailboats that are taller than the thing is. Hats off to Alex and the folks who work through the best way to inconspicuously place that asset. They've also done one on Birch Bay Drive, and north of Harborview Road, I think in the county's new park there. And they are the last two on this contract and round of funding that the state's installing. And the crew from West Shore Services that did the install from Michigan did an excellent job. Our local electrical contractor is finishing up on some work this week, and I'm picking up a key to it tomorrow, and then the state has to come back and make some final adjustments and testing of it, make the final connections, and we'll be putting in place the policy for appropriate use at the local level, as well as the access to the state and national broadcast. So we'll have more information on that. But if you get a chance to take a look, it's I think they did a really, really good job on it. So, any questions, sir?
Will this AHAB system be tested from time to time?
Yes, it will. It is either once or twice a month. And you may have heard the one at Semiamu for the tribe. It sits between the First Nations Reservation and the White Rock City limits, right on the boundary there. And you can actually faintly hear it from the harbor area. And it sounds a little, the tone they use sounds a little bit like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Thank you.
It's not as quiche as the, I think it's Oregon, is it Seaside? Or no, Cannon Beach. Cannon Beach in Oregon uses a cow moo on there, which is a little disconcerting since it's not a dairy place. But you know, we'll let you know before we fire that puppy up so that you'll be able to answer the telephone call. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
I do have the 2.5-minute summary of all the stop sign violations if anyone wants to watch it later. So.
Okay, we'll go to council reports. Bonnie, how about your two? Mr. City Manager.
I know you want to get out.
I've gotten rid of you.
So I just, mine's a brief report.
Okay.
First off, next week we start the Revenue Task Force. That's going to run 4 Tuesdays in May. And the purpose of that is to come back with a recommendation on council on revenue before your budget process starts. So we're looking forward to getting that started and finished. I was in Olympia last Tuesday, if you recall. And the good news out of that was the next 274 funding, which is terrific. We also, I think, made some progress on the East Plain infrastructure, which is our next big financial push through the legislature in that process. So that's going to happen this summer and fall. We hope we get that started. I mentioned that we have a closed session after this for a little while. But the most important news, I got a new granddaughter.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
Yeah, pretty excited. So everyone's healthy and happy, and my son is already trying to figure out how in the heck did this happen.
Yeah.
But it's really fun to see that family start to grow now. So
yeah.
That's the rest, end of my report. Any directions or questions? Or
I just personally think a compliment for your what the work that you did on Exit 274, it obviously paid off.
Well, I think it was a team effort, right? There's a lot of people.
Your visit to Olympia was well-timed.
Yeah, I think it was good for all of us. You know, Raven put her foot into the thing, and Senator Erickson did. Whatcom Cog listed it as a very high priority. So there's a lot of effort going into it. I think I just happened to be there on the right day for our purposes. Yeah. But it was good that we do that. And frankly, after doing that, we need to do more of that. I mean, it's definite. Those legislators are asking us for projects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've got some.
Yeah. I think all the work that people did really paid off. I think Erickson was sort of convinced that we're for real. Okay, Bonnie, how about your two reports?
I have nothing for the Chamber of Commerce, but I did meet with the director of the Boys and Girls Club, Kelsey Clark. She's been there since October. Young gal, very energetic, and sees herself being in there pretty long term. I know we've had some short-term people there, but she expects to be there a while. She's from Ferndale. And she's really enjoying the job and the kids. And I asked her to give me a list of any concerns or ideas that she might have. She's going to give me monthly program updates so I can just let you know what they're doing over there. They've got like 90-plus kids every day in that pretty small area when you think about it. And they don't just automatically spill into the pavilion, because there's stuff going on there when the kids are there, except like after 5 o'clock, I guess, because they're open till 7. So anyway, she said we could easily take over this whole building, she said, without question. She did thank us for the water cooler. Thank you, Mr. City Manager, for your part in that. She said that was you know, something that very much appreciated. She did say that the storage room, there's two storage rooms in that pavilion. One is much larger than the other. Somehow the Boys and Girls Club were giving the smaller of the two, which is at the north end of the pavilion, the north part of that center area. And she said the larger one, she said, she assumes it's used probably by the Parks and Rec people, but she said there's not that much stuff in there. And I said, well, you'd probably love to trade spaces with them then, wouldn't you? And she said, I'd love it. She said, because we could really use it. So I don't know if there was some kind of agreement with Parks and Rec. Do you know how that came about?
I decided.
That they got the bigger. Okay, well, you might want to look into that and see if they really need that big a space. And if they don't.
So it's Parks and Rec uses it, but it's really the city's space. That's where the custodian puts all of his cleaning materials and his dumpster and his, all the stuff that we use to manage and maintain that building goes in that space. It's utilized by okay. not just the Boys and Girls, but by the city. So I'm really reluctant to give it up.
Yeah, okay, I didn't realize that. So, okay, just said that. It wasn't a huge issue with her, but she just said she knows she could. The space in there, I don't know how many of you have been there, but they have a game area, an art area with little tables. They have a teen room with computers, which is specifically for the older kids, and then they have a separate program room which also has computers and round tables with chairs. And they don't just, you know, I thought, oh, the kids just go there and they just play. You know, when the weather's nice, they go outside and they just play games. But they've got some really nice programs going on. They're really valuable programs. They have sessions for 4th and 5th grade girls on growing up, you know, all the issues that girls encounter, and sessions on bullying and building friendships, and very valuable stuff for kids that age. You know, they definitely are learning. They can do their homework there. What a valuable resource that space is. It just really brought it home to me with talking to her and learning about what her world was about and the kids' world. So I guess that's it. I will. She said she would update me monthly on programs they have going on, and then I'll pass it on to you guys so you can know what they're doing there.
Thank you, Bonnie. WTA board.
Oh. Dennis and I attended a training session at the Senior Center put on by Rick Nicholson of the WTA. The topic was the new services that were rolled out last month and how to access them for the senior citizens. It was well attended, and I got the sense that the senior citizens appreciated it.
Thank you. Jordan Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee, Charlie.
No report other than the fact that I'm a grandfather to little boy, wait, Tobias J. Collins.
Oh, super.
Are they two.
Oh, Tobias super. J., the initial J., Charles Hawkins.
Wonderful.
Nice little boy.
Okay. Dennis, how many grandchildren do you have this?
None.
To report on.
Okay. How about your two committees?
The library, they're planning for their summer programs. They have some change in staff, so they have some new staff members. And they're holding their breath as to what the TBD votes would go. As how that might influence what they expect to do as far as library expansion or whatever. But that's in the backs of their minds. They're quite concerned with it.
Okay. Small Cities Caucus. I attended the meeting. And one of the items that was discussed was the new report on the jail. There was a committee formed in which the Small Cities Group participated, and it was a report to determine, I believe, the size of the jail and how it was to be funded. And I've given that information to Mr. Wahlberg. This committee has finished their report, and this report will go to the county council, the city of Bellingham, and the small cities. And what we were asked to do was to present this to the city council, not to vote on it, but strictly to make the council aware that a report has been issued, and that report will be voted on ultimately, if there's no changes in it, to the county council and the city of Bellingham. We don't know how they're going to vote on it, and it's likely that they will probably recommend changes to it. So I've given the information to our city manager, and I've asked him to communicate with Scott Kornheis and the manager for Linden, who were involved on the committee, and to decide if it's appropriate at this time to bring that report to us, or if we want to hold off until we've heard what's happened at the county council and the city of Bellingham. And I was a little reluctant to recommend that we bring the report to the council, because we really don't know how the other two main players, the city of Bellingham and the county council, are going to react to this. So I said to the group that we're meeting at the Small Cities Caucus that I don't believe that the city of Blaine, and I was not speaking for the council but just for myself, that I doubt that we will want to vote on it until we're sure that the city of Bellingham and the county council are in agreement in some form or other as to how this is going to play out. So, it's interesting that we're facing deadlines again, because they're going to want this on the ballot. And we're a few steps away from getting it ready to present to the citizens. So it's going to be a major issue. It's going to be something that we're all going to have to get involved in. And certainly the small cities, and each city is going to have to decide how they're going to either support it or ask for changes to it or recommend. So that's kind of where we're at. And Mr. City Manager, maybe given on how you feel about it, maybe it's going to be just a matter of presenting that report to the council and say, here's what's happened. And we don't necessarily have to vote on it. Here's just exactly what's going on. So
we could have an informational presentation just to give you the basis of the what they've produced so far.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I think the city of Bellingham and the county need to either decide they're going to work together or they're going to decide they're not to.
Yeah.
I mean, at least we won't be drawn into the drama of that until some clarification comes forward. And that's what happened last time. You know, the small cities were asked to support a contract that the county and the city of Bellingham hadn't agreed to.
No.
And so that blew up. And so I think we can talk to you about it. We can inform you about what it means and what the costs are and so forth. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend the council take any action until that other thing is resolved between the county and the Bellingham.
One thing that was discussed at our meeting was the fact that certain parties came out against what was being recommended at last election. And that was, one of them was the Bellingham Police Department and the Bellingham Fire Department. And they are quite influential in terms of how people will react if they come out and say, we're not supporting this. It was a shock to a lot of people. So it's not only that the council have got to get on board, but they've got to get the major players in their cities at least supportive of this. So it's going to be pretty interesting what happens over the next few months. And So I think once we have something a little more definitive, then we'll just hold off. So, yes, Dennis, you had a question?
I need to give you some information on Senior Center. They had a matching fund drive for a new range, and there was a $5,000 plus match, and they made their $10,000. And there's an additional $5,000 to be matched. So that's possible for some other things.
Oh, that's nice.
The Métis is scheduled for the 7th from 1 to 3, $20 a ticket. And they have a new part-time staff member who is a professional violinist, and she's going to provide music at the tea. And then I was going to ask Harry to respond to the food bank volunteer
projects. Oh, yes. I'm planning on doing that. You know, you might have the senior center think about the 7th date, because that's the there's going to be a lot of people attending the thing for the seafarers.
Yeah, it's something that they've set that date.
Yeah,
they did a long time ago, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I'll check with them.
Yeah, on Saturday, I had an opportunity to present some awards to Jerry Blades. Jerry Blades. Blades. And Evelyn Boninello. And they received a presidential award for their long-term service at the food bank. And there was a very large crowd of people that attended. And we presented our proclamations as well. And there was also some proclamations from the food bank itself. So it was well attended. And maybe Dennis wants to comment on it as well, because it was a very special event. I mean, how many people get a presidential award? And I think there's only one other person in the city that I know of who has ever received it. So what these two individuals have done on behalf of the city is really, truly amazing. Jerry has spent, I think, 1,000 hours.
More like 10,000.
Oh, 10,000. I keep saying 1,000. It's like 10,000 hours at the food bank. And Evelyn has spent almost a similar amount of time.
She's been there since it started.
Since
like
it started,
or something.
Yeah, so it was nice that we were able to recognize them. I think the food bank is anticipating that we may want to do something on a yearly basis, but that's something that I think we'll have to give some consideration to. But Dennis, how did you think about it?
I thought it was well done. The people that were there really understood how much time those folks spend. And just a comment, that building that they use, I think that was built by the city, by volunteers. So it's quite a while ago. I mean, I can remember it though.
It is truly amazing the amount of time that they spent, the contribution they've made to the city, and I hope we were able to reflect that on Saturday.
Did you know what that other fellow's name was? Joel, was it?
Yeah, Joel, I'm not sure. My mind goes not working very well these days. So, but I think it was excellent, and I'm glad we had the opportunity to do it. Okay. How about calendars? Are we okay on the calendar department?
Actually, we have a question, if we may. There is the course on the parliamentary procedures, and I don't see that on the calendar. Maybe I'm overlooking it.
This calendar.
Otherwise, my mind works about as well as Harry's does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
May 16th.
Okay. Is there any reason we couldn't put that on the calendar? makes it easier for some of us to remember things like that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that at like 10 in the morning or something?
No, it's in the evening. If we're talking about the same thing, I'm looking it up right now.
There are two trainings on that.
Yeah.
Right. There's one in the morning, which is the parliamentary one, and then one in the evening is managing disputes.
Okay. Is that at 6 or something?
It's from 6 to 8 p.m., and it is the down the rabbit hole or due diligence managing discussion for effective decisions.
Okay.
I'm sure we're all going to be in attendance.
May
18th.
May 8th?
May 18th. Oh, 18th.
18th?
Or 16th, you said. 18th.
May 18th.
Okay.
Okay, I think I got that. Okay, here, onwards and upward. Are we now breaking for another executive session? Okay, so at 8:14, it is our intention to break for executive session. We anticipate being out how long?
20 minutes.
20 minutes? And do we plan for any action to be taking place?
No
action to be taking place. You and the audience are welcome to stay, and we'll see you in about 20 minutes.